Father in heaven, we thank you again for this precious book, Lord. Without it, we wouldn't know anything about you at all. And in it, we know very little, but we have so much we can learn. And again, we pray as I open it, as I open it, under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Help everything be said which would exalt our Savior and please our Heavenly Father. And I pray today that you get in glory anywhere in this world. Let it be here in this place. For your name's sake, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And as we look at these few verses of Scripture, let me set the pace for you just a moment before we read these verses. I'm going to read verse 45 through 54 real fast-like. Now we see Jesus is brought to a place, according to the Scripture, called Golgotha. It's a place of skull. They mock him. They ridicule him. They make fun of him. As you walk through these few verses, he put a sign over his head mocking that this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. They also call out, if you be the Christ, come down. We'll believe. We'll trust you. If you can save yourself, if you save yourself, we believe that you can save us. And they ridicule him all the way down, you see, till you get to verse 45. Now, let me insert here something before we read these verses. If you're thinking, God has certainly touched my heart in the last few weeks of looking at this message, these people around here would accept to the few that had followed Jesus Christ and not looking at him as they were, and even this time, they had some concern about who he really was. Though they believed, there's always sometimes things that will shake you a little bit when you see things going opposite the way you think it ought to go. And here, you watch now, every one of these people that you've seen read about so far until we get down to know the few that were there with Christ, and there was others, I'm sure, but they were there for the show. They had no belief at all that this man was the Messiah, because they had in their time life seen hundreds and hundreds of people, no doubt, crucified. And everyone that was crucified, didn't matter whether he was guilty or whether he was innocent. They didn't know the difference. They only know what they were told. And yet they hung there as a guilty person. So they would think that most of those who were crucified at this time had to be guilty. Because after all, the government never makes a mistake. Right? And here you see, they're there looking for the game. What's he going to do? Will he do something? If he's the Messiah, he'll do something fantastic. I want you to know that. And boy, we're just going to. And here they are having all kinds of things, no doubt laughing and joking and mocking and gambling and over everything. And everything just seemed to be going. Now, 6 o'clock in the morning is the first hour. As we see, he gives this at the time. When you have about daybreak would be the first hour. About three hours later, that'd be 6 o'clock. So about 3 hours later, it'd be 9 o'clock. That's about the time he was hung on the cross. Now, up to this time, they looked at a man been found guilty and going to die. And yet he's claimed to be something. And what's happened? Now watch. What had happened for 33 and a half years, most of these people around this century did not believe he was who he was. And what happens in the next few hours is going to change a lot of minds, people's minds. Not in the fact they see him dying. They can't relate to that he's dying, going to be buried and rose again. Even though they told disciples that, they had a little bit of concern where they saw all of that. And you can't blame them because they didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. And when Christ wasn't with them, they like us. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, we'd be bad off too. In fact, we're probably worse off we should be because we have the Holy Spirit. But here, when I'm getting you in your mind, watch this scene. And then you're going to see, and here's my topic. 5 unusual miracles around Mount Calvary that we sometimes don't even pay attention to. And out of these 5 miracles around Calvary, I'm not talking about what he did on Calvary. We know that's a spiritual thing. We know what's going on there. We know God is doing something there. But here you're going to find that had nothing to do with these people believing who this man was until these 5 miracles had taken place, and 4 of them happened right there and 1 happened the next morning. And so as I look at this, I'm looking at 5 miracles around Mount Calvary that caused these people all of a sudden to change everything they were thinking. Even if they didn't believe he was who he was, he got their attention, I tell you that. They knew he wasn't who they thought he was. And watch what happens when I read these portions of Scripture. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Now, we know this. I said that 6 o'clock in the morning would be the first, then 3 hours later would be 9, then 6 would be about 12 noon. And darkness over the land until the ninth hour, so that had to be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we're talking about darkness between 12 o'clock and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, and Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, at the end of this, at the ninth hour, which had been in the afternoon about 3 o'clock, so he had been darkness about 3 hours now. And they had not heard a thing at this time. They heard some words before and afterward, but now this time they hear him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he says, some of them that stood there, when they heard this, said, this man called us for Elias. Straightway, one of them took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, wait, leave him alone. I put the weight in there myself. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Then, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves. Now watch this parenthetical phrase, after his resurrection. Now keep in mind, this is going on at the time, but when he talks about the resurrection of Christ, or these resurrection of these people, he says three words, after his resurrection. So you know for a fact that four of these things I'm going to talk about took place at this moment, and the other one took place the next morning. And I'll tell you, I think the reason why, even though they didn't see me, someone said, why didn't the Lord just put them in sequence? He got them in sequence by the Holy Spirit so we'd understand it. He keeps the world confused. But I understand why he waited the next morning, even though he put it here after his resurrection. See, after his resurrection ties in what Paul said in 1 Corinthians about when he died. The resurrection of anyone else can't take place until he resurrects. That is, unless he calls them forth himself. And so he goes on, and they said, And he came out of the grave. After his resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurions and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Verily, truly, this was the Son of God. Now, dying on the cross didn't get them to see that. They were mocking before. Even when he cried, my God, why is thou forsaken me? They didn't know what's going on. He said, let's see if Elias going to come save us. It nothing got their attention until he saw the completion of four of these great miracles, and the fifth one kind of put a cap on the whole thing at the time. So may I remind you that Roman soldiers were expert in killing that day. They really knew what they were doing. As a matter of fact, everything had gone according to plan. You have a crucifixion. Every tortured breath testified that the Roman soldiers had done their job well. 9 o'clock in the morning was crucifixion time most of the time. And when hammers and nails began to pound and screams of pain were heard and smell of death was in the air and man was stripped naked with blood oozing, dripping out of his body like sweat rolling off of the body of those who were crucified, except Jesus Christ. They didn't hear nothing out of him to start with, except a few words that he said. We'll see that. But he didn't cry out in pain. As a matter of fact, many people would force to try to keep from being crucified. But he didn't. He laid down his hand. Or he laid down his life. You know what he did, ladies and gentlemen? They didn't have to force his hand on that cross. He laid it there. He gave himself. God help us to see he gave himself for you and I. What I want you to understand, sometimes the message itself is powerful. And of course, we got to understand the message is more powerful to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit than it was here, because the Holy Spirit wasn't involved when it was talked here. But at the time when Jesus was there, he was very convincing. But now he doesn't look very convincing. He's dying just like everybody else had since people have been seeing crucifixions. And so now we understand Jesus laid down his life, according to John chapter 10, verse 15 through 18. People were watching, talking, laughing, crying. If you're the king of the Jews, come down from the cross. We'll believe. And for 3 hours, it was just like any other crucifixion. And then we see, then it was high noon, when total darkness filled the air around them for 3 hours. The sound of the people shouting in panic and in concern. Now silence. Nothing is said. Even a whisper we don't have count on. We You see at 3 o'clock p.m. sharp, the sun shines again suddenly. All eyes are back on the man on the middle cross. Something awful took place that happened to Jesus between those hours, ladies and gentlemen. During those 3 hours from 12 o'clock noon to 3 o'clock the afternoon, something hid by God happened between God the Father and the Son. Just because God did something there that He wouldn't let us see. But I want you to know it's the worst thing that ever happened to any man when God extracted eternal life for His Son. To you and I could have it. I'm telling you, folks, God even hid the world at that time. Now I see in John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus cried, finish. We know eyes on there. And as you see, Matthew 27, verse 50, he cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost, he said. But John tells us he cried, finish, which means literally it's finished. Finish! And he's gone. He's gone as far as life. Two men are still there. But Jesus had died quickly, suddenly. And then no one took his life from him. He gave his life for others. There was never been a death before or since like Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, Jesus died on the cross. Yes, thousands died on the cross. But not a one of them ever came forth from the dead. So he put a seal of approval on that at that time. There's never been a death like it. Now I'm going to look at these five miracles that took place at Jesus' death and Jesus Christ our Lord on Calvary. The first one is simply this. If you look at me in verse 45, the darkness falls at noon. One moment, the sun overhead, and suddenly it disappears. Here they are, laughing, joking, probably drinking, dividing is everything that's possible, just having a great, mocking what they can do, and just like that, it gets dark. You can't do much. And by the way, this darkness is something. It's a thick, inky, black darkness fell like a shroud over the land with no light at all anywhere. No one moved. No one spoke. You couldn't even see. I'm sure this darkness is so dark, you couldn't even see how to move. The soldiers stopped swearing. There's no sound at all. People don't know what's going on. The darkness lasts for 3 long, eerie hours. And what an amazing thing. 12:30, it's still dark. 1:30, it's still dark. 2 o'clock, it's still dark. 2:55, it's still dark. At 3 p.m., just as suddenly as the darkness descended, the light appeared. Some people say, well, there's something going on here just like has to do with way currents and things do. They even go to the place that they talk about this darkness. No doubt people say, what's going on? And then somebody say, well, you know, this darkness was an eclipse. No. We just seen an eclipse not just the last few days. Eclipse only lasts, what, more than 10 or 15 minutes? You say, well, God could stop the earth from turning. Oh, yes, He could, I believe. But wait a minute. He'd have to get it in place to get it stopped. He didn't wait. He didn't try to get it in place because if he started getting it in place, you've seen a little bit of it go. And then you've seen a little bit of it leave as the light came back. This was a dark, eerie darkness, ink darkness that happened at a snap of a finger, if you want to call it like in Johnson County. Just like that, it got dark. And 3 hours later, just like that, it got light again. It's a miracle of God. Only God could do something like that. And they say, well, we go all kinds of ways. We look at it too scientific today. I don't need science. I just need what God has to say. I believe with all my heart it turned just as dark. Hey, it's just like in this room, if it was pitch dark at night and you couldn't even see nothing outside and you couldn't even, or like this, and all of a sudden you flip a switch. Have you ever been in here and did that? I mean, really at night when it's dark and you can't see anything? You can't see a thing in here, hardly. And this is worse than that. And then all of a sudden, just like flipping a switch, God flipped the switch and it went off, and God flipped the switch and it came on. That is, the sun came back. So that was a miracle of God. And it got their attention at this time. The first words that Jesus said was, Father, forgive them, for they know what they're doing, Luke 23, verse 34. The last words that He said, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. At that agonizing moment Jesus bore the sins of the whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, during that three-hour period, there's something went on with God the Father and the Son that you and I will never know. But he did it for us. The pain and agony he had before, we see. The bloodiness, all we saw was terrible. And many times, sometimes I've heard people say, I want to let my children look at something on the crucifixion because it's so horrible. Let me tell you something. That's nothing compared to what God did to his Son to extract eternal death from him that we could have eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, it took something that only God and the Son knew. And the pain. Someone said, well, we just saw the pain on the cross. No, we saw the pain on the cross. But when we heard him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want you to know there's a pain you and I will never understand and never have to experience. Even hell itself, for those who go there in eternity and never experience what Jesus paid. But you know why? Because if they could come to a point that where they deserved to get out of there, then they'd have done what Christ had done. Because they can't get out, and only Christ can deliver them. And somehow or another, he paid the debt in turn where hell cannot hold or get them. And even those in hell can never get out because no one's paid the debt for them. They turn it down. He did pay it for them in a way as far as whosoever would, but they turn it down. And because of that, they will never get out of there. And Jesus paid the debt so you and I can live in eternity forever because we deserve the same place. He paid the debt completely. And I thank God. Isaiah 53, 4 says that he was smitten by God and he was afflicted. But no longer Jesus died with acknowledging that the price of sin had been fully paid because he paid it. The cup was empty. The battle was won. The sin struggle was over. God's glorious light burst through the darkness of sin with victory for those who would trust Christ as their personal Savior. And God showed this for the sinner. In the sense of darkness, when he did it to his Son, that you and I would never be able, would be in Christ, never have God to forsake us like he did his Son. And when the sin that had been paid, the light came back on again. And I'll tell you that the attitude of these people on that cross was different now than what it was before the lights went off and darkness came in. So the miracle of this, of course, is this darkness. The second miracle, don't you know what it means? The temple veil was torn from top to bottom. Verse 51. The temple was a place where people could come and go to God's house, but it's for business. You didn't go to the house of God for leisure or to hang around. Here, because this was business. These people who were there, Leviticus 16 gives us the heart of Jewish worship in the temple. The outer court, the holy place, the most holy place, the priest, the high priest, all of these functions in certain garments. You can come to worship there unless you had a certain garment as far as priests were concerned. Some people even nowadays come as you are. Well, you can come as you are as far as church today. But in that day, these people had certain things. Clothes meant something to them when they went before God. It had to do with who they were. And then he goes on. A thick curtain hung between the holy place and the most holy place. In verse 51. And then the entire system seemed to cry, stay away. Don't come near you. Come here. You're not qualified to come to your own, in your own. Don't come here. Don't come here. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. And then when you saw the tabernacle, here was the method that God, that they could prepare to meet God in the Old Testament. Are you with me? Jesus at Calvary is crying, prepare to meet thy God. And he's a method, the way that you and I can prepare to meet God in the age of grace. Maybe a part of the church. This is why Matthew tells us the curtain was torn from top to bottom, signifying that God had done only what God could do for you and I. This lets us know that the road to heaven is open to anyone, anytime, anywhere, any place, through Jesus Christ, not Muhammad, not some other religious leader, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ripping that veil was God's way of telling the human race that you are welcome in my family through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He's the door. Without him, you have no hope. And right around Calvary, God is showing that in the scene that we overlook. We say, man, it turned dark. About that 3 hours. I wonder what happened. We don't know what happened, but we know something happened, though. And we know God did it. So the miracle of darkness, noon hour, then the torn of the veil, number three, Matthew 27, verse 51, Then he says there's a miracle of the earthquake, a tremendous earthquake. It's timing is what miracles. We've always had earthquakes. Well, here's one when God spoke and it happened. Right then, it wasn't just some plates lifting. Never how he did it, I don't know. But here's where God spoke and it happened. And when he spoke, God shook the earth. Wonder why he had the earthquake here. Why it's so important? Because, ladies and gentlemen, you see that God shook the earth the very moment that his son died. About the ninth hour. Isn't it amazing? After the darkness, he shook the earth. God shook the earth at Mount Sinai when the law was given to Moses in Exodus 19, 18. Now the earth shakes when Christ died, signified the end of the once the law was for all, Hebrews 10, 10 through 14. Here God showed the difference when the law was instigated and now when the law has no power other than to condemn us. We see one place God shook the ground and gave the law. Here's a place he shook the ground to where he could redeem those that cursed law, the law cursed. And here we see a wonderful thing taking place. At Mount Sinai, the law condemned, but he could not save. At Mount Calvary, Christ died, ladies and gentlemen, that condemned men and women might be saved. What the law could not do, Christ did for us. When he died on Calvary, in our place, paying the sin debt that Jesus did not owe. He did not owe this sin debt. You say, well, why did he die? Because you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the... Glory to God. Folks, the righteousness of God. You don't understand that. None of us live to the ability we have the potential to live for the righteousness of God. Because he made us that way. And I see that's a wonderful thing. So I know that the miracle of darkness and the miracle of the torn veil and the miracle of the earthquake. Now the fourth thing he said, which is inserted here in verse 52 and 53, is the saint rise from the dead after his resurrection. So that means it had to come after the Sunday morning early when he had risen from the dead. We may not understand all what happened here spiritually, but some saints of God did come forth out of the dead, but it was after Jesus' resurrection. Notice again, I must emphasize this, those three words in verse 53, after his resurrection. Wonder why? Because again, 2 Corinthians chapter 51, verse Jesus made sin for us, and this says after his resurrection, because in chapter 15, he gives us that information that he's the first fruit, Jesus the first fruit, and everyone else after him is part into the sacred group, sacred fruit. So now the saints are raised from the dead. This is the line. What Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after are they that are Christ at his coming. Did you know that Paul wrote that under inspiration of the Holy Spirit 26 years after Calvary? Did you know that after his resurrection was inserted in Matthew, but Paul wrote about it showing in detail why it happened that way, we're raised at the end of our life, at the end of the grace, at the end of the church age, because he rose from the dead. And so we'll be raised after him. And God is precise. He's not going to let us go before Christ. In fact, there'd be no meaning to let us go before Christ. If we could go before Christ, before he raised from the dead, then we might have been able to do something. Don't you know? Don't you see, folks? God is the one who did it all. He did it all. And I thank God for that. Death died when Jesus died and rose from the grave, having the keys of death and hell and the grave for the believer. We see that in Revelation chapter 1. And verse 18. And then from this miracle, we have the assurance that Jesus was able to raise us one of these days. Listen, folks. Somebody can claim they have the power to raise someone from the dead. And you may doubt that. But if you know he died and raised himself from the dead, if he's got the power to raise himself from the dead, he can raise anyone else he wants to. And so he gets us that power. These came after his resurrection. And then the last one is what I want you to see, where it says the centurion testified with all others in Matthew 27, verse 54. On that day, the first, second, third, and the fifth thing happened. In turn, that brought them to a notice, there's something different about this man. Watch me just a moment as we put it together. Jesus' resurrection sealed this truth. Truly, this was the Son of God. His resurrection sealed that. Because now, the first thing you could say, truly, this was the Son of God. But when Christ rose from the dead, you can say, truly, this is the Son of God. Because he sealed it with the resurrection. This centurion was an officer that was held in high esteem among many people. He was the leader of the Roman century of 100 men or more in his group. This man was a proven leader of men. And I look at the centurion, he had heard and seen all that had gone on around him. The darkness, the torn veil, the earthquake. Then the earthquake shook the ground, but he strengthened his faith. He said in Matthew 27, verse 44, truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, absolutely. The centurion got it right, folks. The centurion got it right. The Roman soldier figured it out. He figured out what the priest and the politicians and the Jewish people missed of who Jesus really was. They saw a radical, mythical troublemaker. But this centurion saw the Son of God. Isn't that interesting? He didn't see that before this, though. Isn't it amazing what God's evidence would do for those who will believe? Isn't it wonderful to know that God wanted to give us enough? We have word and that's enough, but he gives us evidence that the world didn't know anything about. It bearing witness to our heart, these truths that are there. Today, man only sees just a religious person as you present Christ. But the child of God sees the Son of God. We say truly today, this is the Son of God. Listen, why? Because he lives today. Back then you say that was the Son of God as if he might have stopped existing. But no, he is the Son of God. He is still saving. He's the only Savior today. Why can't the world listen? Because Satan's a dominant person. And satisfied the egotistic of our hearts many times. And we failed to see how much that life after cost God. And sometimes he tricks people to think they got it when they don't have it. So I say this. In that 6th to the 9th hour, darkness on the land. Jesus touched the sun and darkness came on the land for 3 hours. So dark. Get in your mind. I guarantee you, like I did, get in a room somewhere and it was so dark and close every light, close every window, cut the light off and see how dark it is and realize that's much more darker this earth got when Jesus died on that cross. Give you a feel. Sometimes you have to experience something. Jesus touched the temple and the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. Jesus touched the grave and sinners were raised from the grave after his resurrection. Jesus touched the centurion and he gave a testimony of the event. And out of all of this, the greatest miracle that took place around that cross was when this centurion said, this truly is the Son of God. Because he got born into the family of God. Here's the thing about it though. Everything that preceded that up to the time that Christ had died didn't change his mind a bit. In fact, he's probably one of them was passing his clothes and everything else off. But when he saw the effect of what God could do in the elements around him, changed his mind. What's the difference today? We got enough sense today to, in intellectualism to know that God be a God if somebody's just honest, because there's too many things to prove that there is one. We may try, and that's when Satan fights so hard to get so many gods available for people to believe in, because he knows people don't believe in a God. We're more educated now than man's ever been. And we know he knows for a fact that he's going to get people, he can't change the mind. There's no God, maybe a few, but they call atheists, but then they get ready to die to change to something. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, he's the only answer. And the greatest miracle of all was the miracle that claimed his heart. And may God give us the grace to take our stand. As Brother Keith's talking this morning with that centurion. And say to this world, truly, Jesus Christ is the absolutely only begotten Son of God. And because of, let me tell you, he also loved you enough to die for you so you can live with him forever. Well, what you think's wrong with me? I've had people say, preacher, what do you think? You don't know nothing about me. You talk like I'm a bad person. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can be the best person on this earth or the worst person on this earth, but both are sinners. Why? Because we have Adam's apple. Some people may have a chance to hold back, but he still had Adam's flesh. We're born of Adam. We're seed of Adam. And so that damage is in there. Some may harness it better than others, but I tell you, if you watch a person live, none of us harness it all the time. It will find its way out. It's like something seeping out of a hole somewhere or another. The only thing can change that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot say that this is the Son of God unless you know this truth through salvation. You and I can say, I believe it is, Lord. And I believe, Lord, I confess you said it with the word of God. It's my mouth, the Lord Jesus. Believe my heart, God's raising the dead, thou shalt be saved. You said you give a record, and that record, your son came and died. And I believe the record. Until you get, the Holy Spirit draws you to that door, and you look in and you hear the message and accept that record, you'll never have the assurance who really Jesus Christ is. But you let the Holy Spirit come in. Then if you stay like a little babe in Christ, never get in this book, you'll still be withered, tossed to and fro, whatever under doctrine. This book is the food for the spiritual man. He wants us to understand God loves us and Christ died for us. And even around the throne, even around the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ himself was, most people didn't believe a word he said, because a person who would be the Messiah, who would be God in the flesh, certainly you couldn't take him and do him like he did then. And Satan convinced a lot of folks, but aren't you glad God can override Satan anytime he wants to? Aren't you glad when he came to your heart? Oh, folks, you may not understand it. Listen, I was on a church pew, and it's hard to save people in a church pew. But somehow or another, God will come. If your heart is honest before him, Lord, I don't care who's, you hear me say, and my prayer many years, God, I don't care who's right, I want to know what's right. I want to know what's right, Lord. And I don't believe any man in this world that God will let anything else come to him. He wants to know what's right to get the truth to him. The question is, if you want to know what's right, won't you receive it when he gives it to you? If you will, then you'll know what this centurion said. We have the evidence. Now, I know Christ died, folks. No one can convince me that he didn't die. I know he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because the same God that told me about Calvary told me he's sitting at the right hand of the God. I know he says you and I are in. See, it's the word of God that convinces us these truths, biblically based, so we can read it. And that's what happens here. We have the effects of what salvation is that convinces it's true. A man standing outside the door looks at it and says, man, I don't know about that. It don't make sense to me. I got true news for you. I've been saved 60 years and a lot of things still don't make sense to me. But I know who's in control. And if you're here this morning, look at that scene. Look at that scene. Many things in this world are going on religiously. You need to watch out for that. It can sidetrack if you don't know the one who's behind this book. And I'm saying to you, what we need to understand, that what went around Calvary came when you saw the miracle of what took place during that crucifixion. You and I see the miracle of the crucifixion. Without the crucifixion, there can be no crown. Without the cross, there's no crown. Aren't you glad? If you're saved, I guarantee you, if you're saved here this morning, you say, no, I didn't know it all about when I got saved, but since I've been saved, boy, I know now. There's a lot of things I don't know, Lord, but I know who you are, and I trust you, and I believe with all my heart you're my Lord and Savior. And I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting when things are going well. I'm trusting when things are going bad. I'm trusting you when I don't understand, and I'm trusting you when I do understand. Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Amen. And to do so, truly this is, not was in age grace, the Son of God. Stand to your feet, please, Father. Please help us see, Lord. Please help us see. We see a lot of things that the world sees. And Lord, it confuses us sometimes like it does the world. But at the same time, we also know, Lord, that the Word of God is true. When we hear Christ being taught, preached, we're not laughing and joking like the world does. The world hears someone. Lord, I remember Asia Manning years ago. He didn't have a lot of book sense. But old man was saved, I believe. He'd get on the street corner of Benson and preach. He'd get a theater advertisement cardboard type thing and roll it up like a microphone. He'd stand on Main Street on the corner and preach Jesus Christ and hellfire and brimstone like an old prophet at old. Nowadays, they'd locked him up and put him in the straitjacket somewhere, I reckon. But in that day, they had a little fear of him. He'd stand there a while and he'd preach, and then he'd be gone. The next thing you know, another Saturday afternoon, he'd be there again preaching. And Lord, there'd be people walking down the street, cross the street, so they wouldn't have to pass him. Lord, he's in heaven now, I believe. Man alive, he was convinced that Jesus was truly the Son of God. And many walked by and probably said they were saved, weren't even convinced of that, because they had, they'd understood, no man does that and preach Jesus Christ like they do, unless he's a maniac of some kind. And Asa Manning was not that. He was in his right mind. And there's a lot of things that were written in the paper back in that day. I know this. A lot of them didn't think much about him. But I read one time where he'd get on the train. He'd go somewhere from down south or go north. And sometimes, getting on the train, they wouldn't even charge him for it. He'd ride it free. He had no place much that he lived, had very little in material things. But he knew who you were. And that's what God does for us by his Spirit and age of grace. Help someone today to see that. Either here in junior church now or we have the Vacation Bible School. Help some child to see it. Help someone by the radio in a few minutes to see it. Help someone, Lord. You strength this one to see it. May we look at the scene. We see how a great time they were having up to 12 o'clock. Then suddenly it took dark, eerie black. And for 3 hours, God extracted eternal death from his Son that we might have that glorious eternal life that Jesus offers. Let us not get over it, Lord. Holy Spirit, honor what's been said. Help us exalt Jesus and please the Father as we give the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.